Does anyone have pictures I would really like to see afterwards? Did you make some photos like where, who, you? Can you maybe show me? Like, I just can't imagine. Is it like walking on water, the feeling, or?
Lord, we're not in a ball, so we're trying. You know how hamsters have balls?
Yes.
And they run around in them?
Yes.
We're doing that with water, so we were toppling on top of each other when we were two at a time. We were pushing them forward, and then there was a rope which was binding us down to the shore, where the shore was, and we could only go to a certain distance, but it was quite tiring.
Like you have to really.
It's like a big football, yeah. Plastic
seat. And transparent.
Blown up the outside, and there's loads of strands coming in to protect so it doesn't pop too much.
Krishna. Yeah, afterwards I will. I think every one of us has an adventurous side to him, so. We will have a short presentation this evening because I realize some of you must have been a little tired from trying to be mystic yogis and walking on the water. Kadambakana Namash, they were walking on the water today. Like mystic yogis. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna is truthful. I would like to welcome you for your third session in this little seminar, which wishes to express a little bit on the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life is a concept which you will find borrowed from the rich Vedic tradition. It attempts to describe three areas of life which need to be nourished. That is our own spiritual roots, which go into, I like to say, eternity. It means it connects us with God, with Krishna. Second, a supportive lifestyle, which is based on physical and emotional and also social well-being. And finally, last not least, a contribution which we do in the spirit of compassionate service to others. It is our firm conviction that anyone who takes care of the three areas in his life will have a very fulfilling life. But one thing is missing, which was discovered today or yesterday by Krishna Kirtan. Krishna Kirtan narrated that he was going through the forest watching the different trees. There was a particular tree which caught his attention and taught him a lesson. The tree, Krishna, Krishna, let me see, yes. The tree, the particular tree which taught him another lesson was sturdy, it had a strong trunk, it had also, from that he could conclude it had good roots, but somehow the crown looked not very healthy, and he understood maybe the tree lacked sunshine. And from that he deducted another very important principle which is necessary for spiritual growth. Yes, you can have spiritual roots. Yes, you can have a good lifestyle. And you can even try to be useful to others. But you need the sun of blessings over you. This is there's an ancient verse in the Shastras which says that the guru is like the sun. No, God is like the sun and the guru is like water. I have in my and you, who are you? You are like a lotus flower. A lotus flower may be in contact with water, but if there is no sun, it will not really become nourished. It will rot. Similarly, if there is only the sun in the life of a lotus flower, then the lotus flower, and no water, the lotus flower will similarly die because it will dry out. So, this ancient shloka says, the guru is to the disciple what the water is to the lotus flower, and the blessings of God are to the disciple or to the devotee like the sun is for the lotus flower. Both is necessary to nourish the water, just as the sun, water and the sun are necessary so that the lotus flower can grow. In the same way, the guru and the blessings of Krishna are very necessary. This answers also a question which may be here in the new guests, means guests who are for the first time with the Pandava Sena. Sometimes a doubt may come to us. Oh, there's so much stress on the guru. Guru puja, and then when one of the sannyasis comes in, everyone looks very closely to the floor, paying obeisances. This is a personality cult. This doubt may arise in our critical faculty of the mind. But I want to assure you and tell you, no, the spiritual guide is necessary to nourish us, but God is also necessary. We are not just relating to the guru, in other words, we are relating to the guru and to God. It's not that there is only an in-between me and God, that is the guru, and I cannot pray to Krishna, I cannot sing his holy names, I cannot offer him things. No, both is necessary. The spiritual guide and God. So when we have the tree of life, we also we need the blessings from both God, this like the sun, and in this example the earth, which is like the guru. Both is necessary. I hope that what I say makes enough sense for you to ponder about it and then digest it in a way that it is helpful for your own spiritual growth. That's I feel the great, great difference between Krishna consciousness and ordinary self-help methods. In ordinary self-help methods, you have no blessings, no divine strength which is given to you, no power which is coming from above, no help really. You are thrown back to your own abilities and disabilities. A good tree, our tree of life, needs good earth and also good sun. In other words, we need the guidance of a spiritual guide, and we also require the mercy of Krishna. You look at me and I look at you. Is it clear? Then let us not dwell more on this, but immediately, with great inquisitiveness, turn to this quality of Krishna, that he is Satyavakya, truthful. Rupa Goswami gives a definition of truthfulness. He says, "He who never lies is called truthful." Do you lie sometimes? I think we lie quite often. If someone asks me, how are you? I always say good. And about 40% this is a lie. No, it's not so bad. I'm just trying to say something of social relevance. He who never lies is called truthful. This is the definition of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada expresses it like this. When Krishna gives his word of honor, he never breaks it. And there is an example of this. Once at the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, Karna, the tragic hero, was visited by Kunti. Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, was the mother not of five Pandavas, but how many Pandavas? Three? Oh, yeah. You can say three, that is also correct. Six, someone says six. Pandava, well, we usually have, we call them the five Pandavas, the sons of Pandu, Yudhishthir, Arjuna, Bhim, and the two twins, Sahadev and Nakula. But Kunti had, before her marriage with King Pandu, another son whose name was, you know everything, Karna. Yeah. But because that was an extramarital son, he came from a divine being, Suryadev, Kunti could not acknowledge her motherhood and gave him to the Ganga in a little basket. This son was extraordinary. He was born with an armor and two kundalas, two earrings. They were just on him. And any lady amongst you, any young Pandavaseni girl, imagine you have a son who has a shining arrow, armor as he comes out. That could be interesting also for the doctors in the hospital. and two earrings. That was quite something, you know. So as Mother Kunti placed the son, her son Karna, into the basket and gave him to the Mother Ganga, she said, "I'm sorry, but I was not married when I got you, but I will recognize you by your armor and your kundalas." So just before the battle of Kurukshetra, Kunti Devi approached Karna. Karna was getting ready for the battle. He was the most wild or able warrior you can imagine next to Arjuna. He was there preparing himself for the battle, and Kunti comes. Karna was fighting on the side of the Kauravas, who fought against the five Pandavas. So Kunti comes, the mother of the five Pandavas, and says, "Karna." "Yes," said Karna. "What do you wish, Queen Kunti?" "Karna, come and give me the kiss which a son should give his mother." Karna didn't know that Kunti is his mother. He looked at the queen, and universes began to speak to him. To his knowledge, he was the son of a chariot driver. But he could never identify with the birth of a chariot driver. He felt like a warrior, a high-born nobleman. But all he heard is that he was a son of a charioteer. And finally he had to revolt against this birth. And he had to become a warrior because he couldn't help himself. He could not ride on chariots. He had to take bows into his hand and shoot and use swords and so on. And he always had this unexplainable goal. Armor which had grown to his body. This is not what a charioteer, a normal person, has. So now there was this woman and reveals to him, "I'm actually your mother." And Karna just couldn't speak. And then Kunti repeated, "Yes, there are not five Pandavas. There are six Pandavas. You are one of them. Don't fight against your brothers. Don't slaughter your brother in the upcoming war. Come to the side and fight on on behalf of your brothers." So Karna, who was made a king by Duryodhana, the leader of the opposite army, the Kauravas, Karna said, "You are not my mother. My mother is that low-born," her name is Radha, but not the Radha we know, "who tolerated the urine and the shit which I put on her body when I was a little boy. You are not my mother. You have put me away from your bosom when I was needing you. You have put me into this little casket and given me to the river. I will not go on your side, cruel woman. I will not go and fight for your sons. But I will promise you, I will not kill Yudhishthira, your oldest. I will not kill the two twins. I will not kill Bhim even. I will only kill one of your sons. That's Arjuna, or he will kill me." "Hare Krishna." Kunti tried to embrace Karna, but Karna was stiff like a cold pillar in his mother's arms. There was desperation in his heart. so moving, this story. I don't know if you also feel the tragedy in this. Then as Queen Kunti left her son sobbing, Karna called after her, "But mother, I will curse not only you, but all the women of this earth. Never, ever again will any woman be able to keep a secret." I don't know if you, we have many women, how do you feel? Is this working, this curse of Karna, or... It's working. Brooke says she has secrets. You have not told anyone? You can't keep secrets, so you are a victim of Karna's curse. Now, I really don't know, but I want to give you a tip. When you have a secret and you tell no one, you keep it between two ears, not even Brahma can hear it. But if you have a secret, an important secret, and you tell it to others, in other words, it's between four ears now, the secret, your two ears and the other two ears, it will most probably 50% evaporate and no longer be a secret. But if you tell a secret to a third person and the secret is between six ears, it will for sure not be able to remain a secret. So if you need to have a secret, keep it to yourself. Don't tell it to others and not to a third person. Anyways, it's very difficult for women to keep secrets because they need to confide in another woman, and then the likelihood is that that other woman tells her best friend, and then it's out in the world and soon on internet, Facebook or so. So now Krishna comes into this scene. He takes the sobbing queen, Queen Kunti, and says, "Kunti, I have heard everything. I know everything. And I will give you now a promise. O Kunti, there will always be five Pandavas which will survive the war. And I will deliver them to you in front of everyone." The devotee says, "Krishna, this is exactly what you said, and it has come to pass. Even the sunshine may one day become cool, and the moonshine may one day become hot, but still your promise will not fail, O slayer of Mura." Krishna said to Queen Kunti, "There will be always five Pandavas, don't worry. And no matter what happened in the war of Kurukshetra, there were so many attempts on the life of Yudhishthira, Arjun, Bhima, Nakul and Sahadev. Krishna protected them. At the very end of the battle of Kurukshetra, I must tell you a secret, and you can tell it to everyone. Arjuna was on the Varya, on this chariot. The war was over. The war which had destroyed most of all the Kshatriya population of the world. At that time, Krishna, the charioteer of Arjuna, was supposed to jump down from the chariot and help Arjuna, the warrior, to come down from the chariot. This was one of the jobs or works of the charioteer. He had to always serve the warrior. and he had to climb down before the warrior from the chariot and help him with all his armor and his weapons to come down. Krishna on that day said, I will stay on the chariot, you get down first. Arjuna looked and he stepped down from the chariot. And when Arjuna was away from the chariot, Krishna said, move, move, move. Arjuna moved back a few steps. Then Krishna jumped from the chariot. And the moment he jumped from the chariot, the chariot was destroyed by all the astras, by all the weapons, by all the curses which were on Arjuna and which could not take effect because Krishna was protecting Arjuna. How beautiful. Krishna protect his devotees. He has given this promise. There are a few promises which Krishna always keeps. For instance, there is one. If one thinks of, he has given these promises to all of us here. Would you like to hear a few promises which Krishna has given to the living entities? Why do you want to hear them? To see if he is keeping them. I think in such matters we should not give witty answers. We should give devotional answers. I think it's good, because if we know Krishna, to know what Krishna promises to us, because if we want to live a Krishna conscious life and connect with him, we should know how we can orient our lives, what is sure and what is unsure. Here's one. If one thinks of me at the time of death, he will attain me without doubt. Here's another promise. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tat vataha jaktva dehang puna janma naiti mang eti sojuna. Krishna assures. If one knows the reason for Krishna's appearance and activities in this world, you know, you have to study, why did he come? What does he do here? He will never have to be reborn, but will attain to the abode of Krishna. Krishna gives another promise. He says, if one offers him simply a leaf, a fruit, or water with devotion, then he will accept it. You can be in any part of the world. If you just offer a little water, mineral water, or any water, a leaf, a fruit, and just put it on a stone or on a plate or whatever you have, and offer it lovingly to Krishna, Krishna will take it, accept it, and he will be happy with you and never forget that you have offered him. There are a few promises. I like to meditate about this one, which gives us four rules, where Krishna says, do these four things and you will attain me. I sometimes, when I was young, I've put these four things on my door. So whenever I left the room where I stayed, I took an inventory. Okay, these four things I have to do and I will go to Krishna. Would you like to know these four things? Always think of Krishna. No, I would say Krishna says it like this. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me, like we will do in the evening, where there will be an aarti, and offer your homage, your obeisances unto me. Bow down, mister. Bow down, sister. Huh? Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this. It's a promise, because you are my very dear friend. Krishna is truthful. He has never broken this promise to take care of his devotees. And if you do these four devotional things in your life, think of Krishna, do some service as his servant to him, no? Become his devotee, offer a little worship, an incense or so, offer your obeisances to Krishna. Krishna promises you will come to him. This is like a promise given for eternal time, which Krishna never breaks. Because he is truthful, he never breaks a promise. He never commits a lie. Wait a minute, Sachinandan Swami. You say Krishna is truthful? I'm now the doubter. You know, when in Vedic discussions, when something is said, a doubt should be raised. Krishna is truthful, but what is about these many incidents where Krishna did break a promise? I would like to give you one of these incidents because I think it is important for us to understand the mind of God a little bit more than we do at the moment. You know, Krishna was staying in Dwaraka. And taking his noon rest. It was just before the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna had come to ask Krishna for help in the upcoming battle. He sat down at the bed of Krishna where his foot were resting, you know, at the foot end. Krishna kept on sleeping. Then Duryodhana, who also wanted to help to get the help of Krishna, came into the same sleeping room and thought, I will sit at the head of Krishna. When he wakes up, he will see me first and ask what I want. I want his help. Krishna woke up, but his glance was towards his feet, and he saw Arjuna. Then he wandered with his eyes, and he saw Duryodhana and said, how nice to see the two of you. I know why you have come. You want my help in the upcoming battle. I can tell you, I will not fight personally. You have to decide. Do you want my armies? They can fight for whoever wants them. Do you want the Narayanas? These are the name of the armies. It's like the best trained army you can imagine. Or do you want me? But without fighting. I will not take a weapon in my hand. Duryodhana started to sweat. Whom is he going to ask to speak first? Krishna said, I will ask Arjuna first because I saw him first when I was waking up. I saw you, Duryodhana, second. So Duryodhana said, I know Arjuna will ask for the army. What will I do with Krishna when he doesn't fight? He wanted to almost leave the sleeping room, but he waited. And Arjuna said, my lord, I want you on my side. Oh, said Krishna, Duryodhana, what do you want? What this fool has wanted? This is what Duryodhana thought about Arjuna. But then he said, I want your army, of course. Krishna said, Arjuna, why do you want me? I will not take a weapon in my hand. And Arjuna said, I don't need your weapons. I don't need, I need you only to give me shelter. The war came, Duryodhana got the Narayanas, and Krishna became the charioteer of Arjuna. At that time, something happened which is important for you to know, because Krishna broke his promise. Maybe after you've heard it, you will no longer think that Krishna is truthful, and you will not engage your life in his service, because you might say, well, if Krishna doesn't keep his promise to save me, to be there for me, why do I become his devotee? So listen very careful. This might decide the further turn of your life. It was, I believe, on the 10th day, Bhishma, grandfather Bhishma, had made the vow, today I will fight in such a ruthless way that either I will kill Arjuna, the dear friend of Krishna, or Krishna will be forced to break his promise. And he began to attack Arjuna so much, his arrows were going through the body of Arjuna, hitting him in his vital point. And he went down on the terrace of his chariot. Krishna was really worried when the blood came out of Arjuna's body. Finally, it was clear Arjuna couldn't defend himself, and Krishna, you know, fighting with himself, should I protect him or not? Should I see how my devotee is slaughtered in this war? My best devotee? Krishna jumped from the chariot. Bang! He, in whom all the living entities rest, began to run towards Bhishma, and as he ran, the earth shook. Tong, 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 tong. The steps became longer. He ran so much that his yellowish cloth with which he covered his upper body was blown away by the wind, and his beautiful hair started to wave in the air, and he ran towards Bhishma. You can't do that. Bhishma began to take his arrows, and he began to aim at Krishna's tender body. And the arrows hit, and blood oozed out of the body. Another wound. Another wound, and Krishna began to smile as he ran towards Bhishma. He saw a broken chariot wheel. He picked up the chariot wheel. He took the and he ran towards Bhishma. Bhishma said, "You've broken your promise." Arjuna came running after Krishna. "Krishna, don't break your promise. The whole world will leave you. No one will be your devotee. Let me sacrifice myself. Let me die. But you don't break your promise, please." And he jumped at Krishna from behind, but Krishna ran laughing towards Bhishma with the chariot wheel in his hand. And Bhishma looked at his lord. The bow slipped from his hands, and he cried tears of ecstasy. The lord had responded to his vow. I will either kill Arjuna, or Krishna will have to break his promise. Did Krishna break his promise? There's a lot of scholarly discussion. Did he take a weapon in his hand? Let me ask you, is a chariot wheel technically spoken a weapon? I think you could argue, yes, it is a weapon. And I think if you are a good arguer, like Jaya Advaita Maharaj, who can argue very good, or like Gadadha, who can argue that the day is night and the night is day, he's so good in arguments. you know, the you could say it was a weapon or it was not a weapon. But the point here, which I would like to make, my dear devotees, is Krishna has one promise which is superior to all other promises, and which he showed towards this with this leela. And this promise is that he is Bhakta Vatsala, that is the friend of his devotees, and he will always protect his devotees. So he protected Arjuna's life, and he also protected Bhishma's vow to make the Lord fight. This one promise he will not break. Krishna has always, sometimes, you know, in Vrindavan, his mother says, "Have you eaten dirt?" And he says, "No." And his mother knows this no means a yes. Krishna sometimes in his leela makes this and that statement and so on. But there's one promise which is so sacred to him that in the Gita, he lets Arjuna declare it, because some people who are stingy in their intelligence might say that Krishna sometimes has stolen yogurt and butter. I will not believe him any longer, that he never tells a lie. Krishna lets Arjuna say this, that my devotee will never perish. I will always, 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 always protect him. This is where he is absolutely truthful, and the other things are related with this, which I have read to you. If one offers him a leaf, fruit, or water with devotion, he accepts it. But what I would like to tell with this little story is, don't always expect Krishna to act exactly like you want him. Krishna will do his work, Krishna will fulfill his promise, but in the way which he thinks is best. So I would now like to come to the devotees. For a devotee, it is very important to also become truthful. The demigods pray to Krishna, "You are the supreme truth, Krishna. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites." So because Krishna is truthful, he expects his devotees to also be truthful. If you want to attain Krishna's mercy, you must be truthful. This is not always easy in an age of lies. This is not always easy when, in order to get to the truth, you sometimes seem to have to tell an untruth. It is sometimes very difficult to know, to be truthful. It sometimes seems to be uncomfortable to be truthful. If in the university someone asks you, "Are you with these Hare Krishnas?" And you say, "Will you give me a bad note? A very bad note I will give you if you are with them." "I'm not with them." I gave a foolish example. I think there are better examples, you know. Why should you be truthful in an age of untruthfulness? My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, there's something you need to know. There are certain dharmic principles which empower you if you follow them. If you break the certain dharmic principles, you will run against a universal wall which is more harder than your stubbornness and more harder than granite. If you follow universal principles like truthfulness, you will be empowered by Dharma. He who follows Dharma is empowered by Dharma, and he who does not follow Dharma is judged by Dharma, and so on. These principles are honesty. When you are honest, the scriptures say you enjoy peace of mind and integrity. When you are dishonest and speak a lie, your peace of mind is a visual illusion. It doesn't happen. The immediate punishment for someone who talks lies and who lives a compromised life and who is not honest is that the peace of mind goes. And the immediate result for someone who is truthful is that he is peaceful in his heart. Have you made experience with this? Sometimes I think we all have said a truth which we really had to say, do I say it now or do I don't say it now? And then we said the truth. And although the other person swallowed, we say in Germany, swallowed dry. That means it's a difficult thing to accept. We felt peaceful and the other also felt peaceful. Prabhupada says this honesty or simplicity, ajavan, means that without diplomacy, one should be so straightforward that he can disclose the real truth even to an enemy. I would like now to invite our talented artist to come and give us one of his soul-searching short theater plays which are capable to induce Hollywood even. So that we explore the subject deeper. I request you to close the lights. Please look very closely to this, because I will ask you afterwards to get into a real soul-searching exercise. Krishna. Very, very nice. I think we all know about this dilemma. Goethe used to say, oh, two persons reside in my heart, and one is giving frustration to the other person. We have these two sides in us. And yes, if we are truthful to Krishna, then there will be help. The help usually comes through devotees. Before, I will ask you to enter a little exercise, and then we will end this part of the evening. I would like to tell you a story of an emperor of China. This emperor had no successor, no male successor. So the question was, who will be the next emperor of China? He decided to call all the young people of his kingdom or his place together. And he said, I will choose the emperor from among you. I will give each one of you a seat. Take care of the seat. And after 6 months, come and show me the plants which each one of you has grown. So after 6 months, the royal court was full of a young man from nobility who had pots with the most interesting flowers. Some were exotic flowers, some were regional flowers, some were Chinese, some were other flowers. And the emperor looked at all of them, but he seemed not satisfied. He saw at the back of the hall one young man who had a flower pot, but no flower inside. And he asked the young man, "Come forward. I have given you a seed, and you have not breeded it nicely so that there's no flower and no plant coming. What's wrong with you?" And the young man said, "Emperor, I tried everything, but there was nothing coming." The emperor said, "You will be the next emperor." Everyone asked him, "Why have you made this good for nothing, the next emperor?" And the emperor said, "This man was not lying. Everyone else was untruthful. The seeds which I had distributed were seeds which could not germinate. These seeds were burned and had no power to grow into plants or flowers. So I could not, no one could bring a flower to me. But everyone lied. Everyone put in a different flower and made flowers. Well, only this man was honest. Only he was truthful, and therefore he can be the next emperor. I suggest, my dear devotees, my dear friends, that you look very carefully on this thing of truthfulness, and you keep truthfulness as one of the principles which you practice in your life, and I can guarantee you that there will be wonderful results for you. I would like you now to do a little writing exercise. I can imagine that maybe you're tired, but just do a little free writing. It will only be 5 minutes and then we stop. I want to repeat the verse. It says, "Unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites." I would like you to take a little time now and write to Krishna about an area where you are not 100% truthful, and then asked for help. I liked how our Syamananda ended this. I see an exodus of young people. Is this not interesting, or is it not good? Or I think it's very necessary. But it will be a short exercise. Write to Krishna about an area you're not 100% truthful and asked for help. So we have come to the end of this evening. I will not ask you to share this with the group of devotees. This is between you and Krishna. I personally have seen that it may not always be possible in this world to be 100% truthful to everyone, because people just have different mindsets and are judgmental often and are on different sides. And we can't always raise a big thing about everything, but it's very important to be truthful to at least two persons. That is one's own spiritual guide or spiritual master, and also Krishna. I would like to add, it's important to find a Govinda, someone we can trust in the theater play. It was a counselor to whom the devotee had a good relationship, because once you are in contact with such a person, it's just much easier to get guidance on the path. So, Hare Krishna. Now, I want to just see if you have some brief questions which you would like to ask, and then we will directly move into our kirtan evening. Yes, Makan, and I saw this devotee, your name again. First Makan, but your name? Kavi Chandra Prabhu. Yeah. Yes, Makan. Please tell your question. The question is it sometimes okay to lie in devotional service when you do something for Krishna? That you can do something for Krishna. You will be surprised to hear in Mahabharata, which is all about Dharma, these subjects are explored. There was once a rishi who had made the vow to never tell a lie, and some criminals were coming his way who were chased by the police department, and they went to the rishi and said, please grant us shelter in your little house in the cellar, or something like a cellar, maybe a part of a cave. And when someone comes and asks if you have seen some people running by here, please promise us to tell them, no, you haven't. So the rishi came by, said yes, and a few moments later there was the police panting, here are some criminals, have you seen them? And the rishi, remembering his promise to the criminals, said, no, I haven't seen them. So they said, please forgive me, but this is of such an important matter. We will just search quickly through your house, and then we will leave and run. And they searched through the house, found the criminals, and imprisoned both the criminals and the rishis. The rishi, because they thought he's giving a blanket cover to them. Then this was discussed amongst saintly people, and it was said that there are some situations in life like this one where he could have told something else than he promised. No? And in the Mahabharata you will often find this, but I think it's very important for us to understand the principle is truthfulness. Let us become established in that. And once we are established in that, we will also know what to do in these very delicate situations where sometimes we say in Germany an emergency lie must be said in order to save a higher principle. there are these situations. But but unless you keep really truthfulness ahead of you and just remember to be truthful always, you will. It's not good to go into these difficult situations because you might make a mistake there. No, the general rule is to be truthful. Kavichandra, Kavichandra Maharaja. We have a Kavichandra Maharaj. Why did he not find a way around that to save his promise? Kavichandra, he could have taken a discus that was a weapon, or he could have grabbed a sword. That would have been a weapon. He has a very fine bow called Sharinga. He could have taken that. Or the Komodaki club, which is able to grind any opponent to dust. But he didn't do it. He actually found a way around it. He picked up a wheel, which is strictly speaking not a weapon. So he did that, I can assure you. But some people who are atheists will contest that and said, well, even a stone becomes a weapon the moment you throw it on my head, what to speak of a wheel. So, but for us devotees, he didn't pick up a weapon. He picked up a wheel, a chariot wheel. Hare Krishna. Aha! If the soul is eternal, why protect his devotee? That's a strong question. See, Krishna protects not only the body of his devotee, he protects also the mind of his devotees. Although we are neither the body and the mind. When you are in a difficult situation, you know, Krishna thinks of his devotees like his children. When imagine there is a father, a devotee father, and his child is in an emergency situation and needs protection from a car which charges at him, and the father says he's not the body, and boom, then his child is rolled over and killed by the car. That is not a good idea of protection. No, Krishna protects also the body of his devotees and the mind. He even goes so far that he says he protects their properties. That is what they need to execute the devotional service. It's sympathy. You know, when imagine we both go over the street and a car comes and you know, what reaction would you think is more sympathetic? That your friend comes and grabs you and just pulls you out of harm's way? Or if he says, Kavichandra is not the body, let him. it's not a sign of affection if one sees how someone is harmed. Yeah. Which one? Our Mataji? Yes? What is your good name, please? Urika? Onika? Omega? No? Omega, yeah. Omega. Alpha and Omega. Oneka, I'm sorry. Hare Krishna. I'm trying to learn difficult names. Yes.
That's one of
This is a very truthful question. I think it's a question which you are pondering about in your own life. Let me give you the sorry, this is Hare Krishna. I should just give a sneezing class, I think. You are so well entertained. I'm sorry, but what to do? This is called a North German body. When my grandfather sneezed, it was the whole house fell into pieces and needed to be reconstructed again. It was just so elephant-like. I would suggest this situation. When there's a service you really like to do, and you also know I will be recognized, keep on doing the service and just learn how to deal with the recognition, the appreciation, and maybe even the fame eventually in a Krishna conscious way. You can't run away from situations where you will be praised and thinking, now I will be a super humble person. You will become humble if even in the light of praise, in the light of appreciation and recognition, you can honestly say, I'm a mercy case. It's just by the mercy of Krishna this has happened, and so on. Then you will learn true humility. True humility will not come to you if you run away from tempting or from difficult situations and hide. Better to confront these situations and learn to deal with them in a Krishna conscious way. All of us, you know, we are now a little longer in devotional service than you. We are older people. No, in the beginning, recognition and fame come, but you learn to deal with it. Because isn't it ridiculous if the pen who was used to write a book says, I have written this book? It was the hand or the man behind the hand who wrote the book. The moment the pen thinks, I've written this, is ridiculous. So if in devotional service you think you have done this, it is a ridiculous, childish error which will soon be overcome by you as you mature. Thank you. Onika. Huh?
You can call me Omega.
No, I want to learn these proper names. Omega. Yes, thank you. No, it's very good. Face the situation. Don't run away and learn to deal with it. And keep this example. The example in your mind of the pen. When the pen thinks, I wrote this book, he's really, I mean, he may be a Parker pen, but he is really an arrow. It's really a mistake. Yes. Yes. Raviji.
My question is that you've explained really nicely how Krishna is truthful. So, what is the biggest obstruction in us trusting in him?
What is the biggest obstruction in him, in us trusting him? Yeah, when someone is truthful, most of the time we trust him. Why don't we simply trust Krishna? Well, you have to see, in order to put trust into someone, you have to have faith. I mean, that's the same word, trust and faith. But there's something about Krishna which makes it for beginners a little difficult, because Krishna cannot be seen so easy. He's beyond the reach of the senses. And therefore, something which you have not seen so easily, to have faith in that is more difficult than to place faith in something or someone you have seen. So we conditioned souls have generally a difficulty to place our faith in transcendental personalities like God or saints or the holy name even, who is alokika, who is beyond the world, who is achintya, inconceivable, because he is avan manasa gochara, beyond the reach of senses and mind. That makes it a little difficult. Therefore, you have to trust in the words of saints. Let me give you a simple example. Have you ever seen Hamburg? But I'm from Hamburg. I think you trust me when I say there are different places like Sasel, Poppenbüttel, Barmbek, Wandsbek, and so on. These are different parts of the city, because I was there. And you have no reason to at least mistrust me in that department of knowledge, because you can read in my passport I'm born in Hamburg. So in the same way, we can believe in transcendental personalities and transcendental things if we get in contact with those who have seen. And fortunately, there are many sadhus and saints and rishis over the millions of years who have given us ample evidence of the presence of Krishna. Fortunately, where would we be without personalities like Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur? And they don't lie. These personalities are so integer that they will not speak lies. Yes, Krishna Kirtan. Yes, Bhavish. Is that Bhavish underneath the picture, the beautiful picture? How important is it to talk to Krishna as well, and not only to a spiritual mentor and so on? Prabhupada, he said very important. He said, "What is the use of religion if you cannot talk to God?" When you talk to God, what will he do? Be mum or he will speak? He will speak. And then he said, but he will not talk to a nonsense. In other words, Prabhupada indicated that some qualifications should be there. Really, this talking to God, we do every morning at the deity greeting, we call it. And we pray to Krishna. It's very important. It's very important also for a personal relationship with Krishna. Talking to God is done also in prayers. There are two types of prayers, Bhavish, which we know about generally. There's also categories of 10 types of prayers, but two types is, one is your own prayer, which comes from your own heart. Oh Krishna, please help me to become more determined in my spiritual life, something like that. And then there is also a prayer where you repeat the prayer of great accomplished personalities and pray their prayers, which you find in sacred scriptures. Mm-hmm. Both are recommended. There is something, then you could say, then why do I need a mentor? I can just talk to Krishna and then save myself the telephone bill, you know. Krishna often talks to devotees, to us. God in this world arranges through the hands of his devotees and talks through the tongues of his devotees often. There is something, you know, it is a feeling, I don't know if you can understand it theoretically, but theoretically or practically, the devotee feels, why should I bother Krishna with all these small time? I will go to him with the big requests, which only he can fulfill. That is, give me love of Godhead and such things. Huh? And the mentor, you know, devotees are here in this world, Bhavish, in order to help us on our way. There's a beautiful prayer which says, my path has become slippery. I'm old and bent over, and but I need the walking stick of the grace of the saints. The mercy of devotees is also immediate, and there is no speculation. If you asked a devotee certain things you will get very clear thing, whereas you can speculate about Krishna's answer, and then you don't know. Is it just your wishful thinking which speaks to you, or is it really Krishna? Mostly, you know, we ask devotees to be sure, so that we are not deceived by the mind. And when we think something is Krishna's answer, we should also ask for confirmation. There are three places where we can get the confirmation: the devotees, the guru, and the shastras. These are the three checking points, because especially in religion there is so much deception, so much illusion, so much wishful thinking. I'm now looking at the watch. I don't know. This watch is not really right, I understood. Is it? It's 9:39. Aha, then we are already beyond our kirtan time. What do you all think? I noticed today some of you were a little bit overcome by brother sleep. You had... should we sing a little bit? Just to end the day, maybe. Good. We won't do it very long. But, I mean, this almost sounds wrong. You know, like... let's sing a little.
Krishna.